Good afternoon, everyone. This afternoon we'll be in Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32. The Bible reads, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a cover from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. The vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy, and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The instruments also of the churl are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. But the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. Rise up, ye women that are at ease. Hear my voice, ye careless daughters. Give ear unto my speech. Many days and years shall ye be troubled, ye careless women. For the vintage shall fail, the gathering shall not come. Tremble, ye women that are at ease. Be troubled, ye careless ones. Strip you and make you bare, and gird sackcloth upon your loins. They shall lament for the teats, for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine. Upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars, yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city, because the palaces shall be forsaken. The multitude of the city shall be left. The forts and towers shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness quietness, and assurance forever. My people shall dwell in the peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. When it shall hail, coming down on the forest, and the cities shall be low in a low place. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for bringing us here together this afternoon. Lord, thank you for the soul winning today. And Lord, fill Brother Jones with your Holy Spirit as he preaches your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. All right. I got to thaw out for a few more minutes. No, it's great. So the title of my sermon this afternoon is 6 Reasons Why Liberals Suck. 6 Reasons Why. I know, I was going to try to say that without laughing. I knew it wasn't going to work out. So the reason, or how I came up with that title, is coming home from work it was right after I got back here from here, my last trip, and it was light, it was night out, you know, I'm sitting at a stoplight and just had one of those days where it seemed like each customer I had was just this liberal person. I mean, it was just like, oh, are you a Trump supporter? It's like, I'm here for your appliance. I don't want to talk about this, you know, so I just say, you know, whatever. But it's just seeing the stuff over and over again, and so I'm already getting upset. And I'm sitting at the stoplight, and I look over, and this guy's got this truck over here, and he's just got this big sticker in his back window that says "Liberals suck," and he looks over at me and he gives me a thumbs up. I was like, "All right, man, that's pretty cool. I need to get me one of those." So I went home and I wrote this sermon, and that's basically why I'm preaching it, because I'm sick of liberals. You know? So yeah, 6 reasons why liberals suck, and trust me, there are many more, many, many more. This is like the basics, very basic sermon in that regards. So why preach about this, right? Well, Psalm chapter 33, verse 4 says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth." So the Bible says that everything that the Lord does is righteous, is true, is just. But the word that comes from the world, the wisdom that comes from the world, is the exact opposite of that. So look down, you're there in Isaiah 32. Just keep your place there. I'll have you go to a couple other spots throughout the sermon, but not much. So we're going to start off here and read in verse 1, because this chapter starts off describing a very pleasant time frame in the millennium, right? And there's a lot of good qualities about people, and then he contrasts that. And so let's take a look down there at verse number 1. It says, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment." So we see right off the bat, what do we see? Righteous leadership, right? A government that is clearly the opposite of ours, and laws and judgments that will be made with righteous judgment. So look at verse number 2. "And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, and are as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." You know, that sounds great to me. I hope everybody's looking forward to that. You know, I mean, you go down to any kind of government center, like a business, you're not going to find a man that's as a hiding place from the wind. I mean, I'm sure you guys understand what it's like to get out of the cold. You know, you get out there and maybe it's like, I don't know, 15 degrees, is blowing wind. You know, and you find that one spot where the wind stops blowing. I mean, that's a pleasant feeling. The Bible says that's how a man will be, you know, during this time frame. And then look at verse 3. It says, "And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken." So today, you know, we have the opposite problem, right? You know, not everybody can hearken. Not everybody can see. Not everybody can have, you know, have their full perfect health. So verse 4 says, "The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerer shall be ready to speak plainly." So even if you go outside in this cold, you know, during this time frame, you won't stammer or stutter anymore. It'd be perfectly thought out. So what this is saying is the perfect knowledge leading to plain speaking will be the person that you'll deal with in these days here. Just a pleasant time. Now he begins to show us the contrast of what we just read, right? So we see how people will be during the millennium. Just pleasant, you know, great. No more fighting, no more like going down to the DMV type garbage. In verse 5, it says, "The vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity to practice hypocrisy and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The instruments also of the churl are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. But the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand." So these verses explain in great detail the exact opposite of what we read, right? You won't find these kinds of people in the millennium. Now, the word liberal just means to be like broad, or you think of the word liberty, to be free, right? I know Jessica likes, like if she makes English muffins, for example. I don't know what it is. Like if I have to make it, I'll only put a little bit of butter on there. I don't know why, but she's like, "That's not how you do it." And she pours a bunch of butter on there. She's real liberal with the butter, right? And that's a good thing. That's, you know, so she's liberal concerning, you know, butter and gravy, you know, different different things like that. But the problem that we have today is that people are calling good evil and evil good. And people that call themselves liberal are not, you know, just liberal with butter and gravy. They're liberal with evil things. We're gonna take a look at that here. So the word liberal just, you know, abundant, much. Not necessarily a bad thing in and of itself if you just look at the definition. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25 says, "The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself." So there's a positive example. Here's one more positive thing just about using the word liberal. 2 Corinthians 9:13 says, "Whiles by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men." So Paul's praising them about their giving, their liberal giving, right? That's okay. It's okay to be a liberal that way. But today, in today's day and age, you don't want to be called a liberal because that is a vile thing, and we're going to see that here. You know, and what does it say here? It says a vile person shall no more be called liberal, implying that people who call themselves liberals today are vile. Well, what's a vile person? A vile person is someone that is extremely unpleasant, foul, nasty, bad, opposite to God's laws, left-wing, or immoral. And notice that the Bible says that they are. There's a day coming where they shall no more be called liberal. And Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Exactly the world that we live in today. You know, just turn on the news and you're going to see evil called good, good called evil. And, you know, you just can't get away from it. But as Christians, we ought to never take any steps in that direction. So point number 1, look down at verse number 6. Point number 1 says, For the vile person will speak, Villani. So point number one is liberals suck because they speak Villani. You might be thinking, well, what does that mean? What does Villani mean? Well, if you think of the word villain, it just means a wicked or criminal type behavior. And that's what they speak. That's what the Bible's saying here. See, I know it sounds like I'm making all this stuff up because I don't like liberals, but this is what the Bible says, that they will speak Villani. I keep saying, I might be saying that wrong, but either way, you get the point. The Bible says that they will speak Villani. It's not a matter of if, it's a will. And here's an example. I took this article from the Sacramento Bee about their new, California's new governor-elect, Gavin Newsom. And this is regarding homeless bums. So listen how this liberal speaks here, okay? So this is from the Sacramento Bee, which hates Verity Baptist Church, by the way, as many of you know. It says, Gavin Newsom also wants to tackle homelessness in a way that has never been done before, with an aggressive statewide approach, right? Because he's liberal, he cares, right? You've got to throw money at the problem, or there's not going to be a solution. Okay, is that? So let's just give these bums, these cracked, out of their mind meth heads that are young and they just don't want to work. And look, you know, I understand there's people that are homeless that go through rough times, you know, and all that stuff. But look, most of these people that are homeless bums, at least the ones you see in Portland, Seattle, Sacramento, San Francisco, you know, here, anywhere. I wouldn't want to be a bum here, but but anyways, they're able-bodied people. They could work if they wanted to. But this guy is saying, listen to what he speaks, right? The Bible says they speak Villani. This is what he's speaking. He says, you've got to throw money at this problem or there's not going to be a solution. And then it says, Newsom acknowledges the high cost of his goals. Oh, wow. I am not naive, he said on his campaign bus. I can't even read this. These people are just so stupid. He says, I am not naive, he said on his campaign bus before the primary. He often repeats the line, it's not just about more resources, it's about resourcefulness. It's not just about more money. And then it says, on homelessness, for example, California could help those on the streets by signing them up for federal disability, which would also offset some of the state expenses. Yeah, like police or fire, medical, you know, people that actually have health insurance to call the police because they have a medical emergency or the ambulance or whatever, you know, that'll offset that resource for you so you can just bleed out and die. He says, California could help those on the streets by signing them up for federal disability, which would also offset some state expenses. He says the Silicon Valley's booming tech sector must play a role in addressing the state's housing affordability crisis, and the state could restructure housing programs and better leverage federal tax credits to spur more local construction. So there's one more quick example of liberal speaking Villani. You know, God says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. You see what the Bible says, if you don't work, you don't eat. It's that simple. Not, you don't take from other people that are working hard to feed those that are not willing to work. That's satanic. That's weak. That is liberal. And that's why the title of the sermon is Six Reasons Why Liberals Suck. So liberals suck because they speak Villani. Let's see, I got a few more examples here. Happy Meal Toys. This is another California one. I got a Seattle one, and you know, I got all kinds of these things. Happy Meal Toys. In California, Santa Clara and San Francisco counties passed separate ordinances preventing restaurants from offering toys to children in conjunction with unhealthful food and beverage choices. This included meals of 600 calories or more that didn't include enough fruits and vegetables. The so-called Happy Meal Ordinance was easily passed by the San Francisco Board of Supervisors in an 8-3 vote. McDonald's responded by announcing that they would are charging 10 cents for toys and Happy Meals. Look, I understand McDonald's got issues, not healthy to eat that stuff all the time, but this kind of makes me want to go get some chicken nuggets after this, you know? And I might as well get me a toy, too. give it to the girls. But this is the kind of priorities that they have. Their minds are so warped, so twisted, so disgusting that they just want to get involved in everything you do, right? They're the opposite of promoting liberty, right? These liberals aren't promoting liberty. They're promoting theft, communism, socialism, trying to take everything. I mean, they want everything from us. They want to get involved in your choice. Look, it should be, if I want to go to McDonald's every day, that should be my choice. Now I'm not going to be standing up here preaching for very much longer, but nonetheless, you know, we should have that liberty. So, Here's one from Seattle. Seattle is set to enact a ban on plastic straws and utensils. I'm sure you've all heard about this, the big straw debacle. It says all businesses that sell food or drinks must offer compostable or recyclable options or ask patrons to forego the tools altogether. Come next July, as a part of a citywide ordinance to curb plastic waste across the country. The ban aside, about 200 retailers have agreed to make the switch this month as a part of an industry-led campaign dubbed Strawless in Seattle. To prevent the plastic from polluting ocean waters and threatening marine life, it is among similar efforts by advocacy groups in cities spanning the country from San Diego to Miami. So these people, you know, if you just start looking this stuff up, first of all, you're going to get depressed if you don't write a sermon about it, if you're able to preach. But second of all, you know, you're just going to learn that they worship the creature more than the creator, right? They worship the creation more than the creator. They have no interest in God whatsoever. I mean, really, that's going to make the world a better place. I mean, that's just disgusting. Now this next one here, I'm sure a lot of you probably heard about too. It's a little bit more serious, a lot more serious. Who's heard of TED Talks? Heard of TED Talks? Yeah, and you've probably heard of the woman that promoted pedophilia, right? I got the article. I'm just going to read it real quick. Her name's Miriam Heine, a German medical student at the University of Würzburg in Germany, made some deeply disturbing assertions last week in her TED Talks. Why perception of pedophilia has to change. TED Talks, right? Talk. That's what they're about, talking about speaking villainy, about speaking evil and wickedness. She claimed that according to current research, pedophilia is an unchangeable sexual orientation, just like, for example, heterosexuality. No one chooses to be a pedophile. No one can cease being one. Well, you're right about that, because Romans 1 says that once you're given over to that reprobate mind, there's no hope for you, and you can't change, and that's why God said they should be killed and put to death. So point number one was liberals suck because they speak villainy, and not to mention that Jesus said it was better for a person that wants to offend little ones to have a millstone tied about his neck and cast into the sea. And I mean, that doesn't just go for pedophiles, by the way. That goes for your Mormon Sunday school teacher, your non-denominational Sunday school teacher that wants to pervert the minds of young kids and teach them that they have to work their way to heaven or somehow offend them in the gospel. You know, so how much more are people that are pedophiles, are they going to pay? You know, they're going to go split hell wide open. So point number two, you're still there in Isaiah chapter 32, verse 6. Point number two is liberals suck because their hearts will work iniquity. See, so the first thing we learned is that they will speak villainy. They have no problems communicating their disastrous plans. But then it says, his heart will work iniquity. Right? It will work iniquity. It's not if. It is a matter of will. They will do it. And if you think about it, liberals are behind the push for forced vaccines on people, which is happening in other countries around the world. Right? They're trying to do that in most of the West Coast states, I think. California, Washington, Oregon. Liberals are behind the push for abortion. Liberals are behind the push for sodomites, pedophiles being accepted as normal in society. Liberals are behind the push for fornication amongst young school children. And liberals are behind the push to outlaw homeschooling. They're behind the push to ban soul winning. And I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. They set out to purposely work against the things of God. And, you know, I have a little message here that Larry the Cucumber was too weak to tell us when we were kids. And that's from Psalm chapter 5, verse 5, which says, the fool in thy sight, thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. So, in Psalm chapter 5, you only have to get 5 chapters into Psalms before you realize that, you know what? We've been lying to all our lives. God does hate people. God actually hates people. I'm going to say God hates everybody. It tells you he hates. He says, thou hatest all workers of iniquity. What's point number two? Liberals suck because their hearts will work iniquity. So guess what? You know what? God hates Nancy Pelosi. God hates Madeleine Albright. God hates Hillary Clinton. God hates Barack Obama. Trump. All these people. Bush. I mean, Ted Turner, George Soros, Rothschild. God hates them because they are workers of iniquity. And you might be thinking, okay, Brother Joe, prove it. So you're there in Matthew chapter 7. Look at verse number 22. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So what's going on here is obviously these people think they did right. You know, hey, we were really liberal. We did a lot of stuff. We cleaned up the oceans. We did. We stopped people from eating unhealthy. We took money from the rich and fed the poor like Robin Hood. We did all these good works. He's like, you know what? I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He throws them into hell. Now, is that a loving act? That's not a loving act. That's a hateful thing, and that's a righteous thing. I mean, obviously, we all deserve hell. But what I'm trying to prove to you here is that Psalm chapter 5 can be found in the New Testament as well. You can see it fulfilled in Matthew chapter 7, that God does hate workers of iniquity. God does hate people. So point number two is liberals suck because their hearts will work iniquity. It's not a matter of if, it is that they will. Point number three, so go back to Isaiah 32. Point number three is liberals suck because they practice hypocrisy. They practice hypocrisy. Isaiah 32 verse 6 says, for the vile person will speak villainy, his heart will work iniquity. And for what reason? To practice hypocrisy. You ever heard of a medical practice? You ever practice anything? They practice hypocrisy. What is hypocrisy? Like I said, saying one thing and doing another. And the Bible says that they practice hypocrisy. I mean, one big one that comes to my mind right off the bat is that coexist bumper sticker you always see on people's cars, right? You go downtown in any city, and I guarantee it'll be about 10 minutes before you see, you know, somebody drive by with that coexist bumper sticker. And what are they trying to say by that? Oh, you know, we're tolerant. We put up with everything, right? We're very tolerant type people. We accept all religions. Well, the truth of the matter is they don't, because if they came in here, they would last about 2 minutes before they left. Actually, they'd probably just take a look at some of us and be like, I'm out of here. This isn't my kind of church here. I'm going to go to the Methodist church down the street. So, the Bible says that liberals will work to practice. Remember, the word practice means to perform an activity or exercise a skill repeatedly or regularly in order to improve or maintain one's proficiency. They want to be proficient in being hypocrites. This isn't just a once-in-a-while thing with these people. This is an all-the-time thing. I mean, think about it. They never cease to quit pushing for gun control. They never quit ceasing to push for any kind of evil or immoral type garbage. My grandfather ran for mayor of San Francisco back in the day because he was a communist, but he ran under the Democratic Party ticket. And back then, you know, because he was a communist, I guess being a Democrat was the closest thing you could. He's like, well, that's the closest thing I could get. But my dad would tell me that basically, if you were to talk to him, all these things he was for, you know, for gun control, even back then, back in the 30s, you know, for gun control, for abortions, even way back then, for all kinds of garbage, you know. Let me read this article for you. I took this from the Washington Times. This talks about Trump, and a lot of people will say, well, Trump's conservative, but really Trump's a liberal as well. But just listen to this, because what are we talking about? We're talking about hypocrisy, that they will practice hypocrisy. It says, they claim to care. So this guy, he's even upset. He says, they claim to care about the forgotten man and pretend to have tolerance for people of all backgrounds, races, religions, and political beliefs. Yet time and time again, their actions prove otherwise. They portray themselves as open-minded members of society, but their tones quickly change when someone disagrees with them politically. Dare to disagree with a liberal, and you will soon be faced with an intolerant, uncaring, and sometimes even violent person. Did anybody see that video of that soy boy with a purple sweater that kicked the guy's face? It was going around Facebook and YouTube. So this, I don't know what it was. It was like some soy rally, I guess you'd say. Some feminist soy rally. And there's this guy, he's got these Ugg boots on, you know, his Peter Pan pants, and he's got this purple shirt. And this woman walks up to him with a camera, and I think she's talking to him about abortion. Yeah, I think that's what it was. Talking to him about abortion. But he gets into the stance, and then he does this jump kick, and then, like, kicks her face or something, kicks her camera out of her hand. But that's the kind of person that I'm talking about. That's the kind of person we're dealing with here. It says, a group of Trump supporters at the University of California, Berkeley's March for Trump were quickly thrown into the middle of this liberal hypocrisy when attempting to peacefully exercise their First Amendment rights. Several of Trump supporters ended up being assaulted, including an elderly man who collapsed to the ground, and a free speech sign and several flags were photographed as being burned. And the guy says, you know, this isn't North Korea, but unfortunately what happened at Berkeley serves as just another example of liberals claiming to be proponents of diverse thoughts and beliefs while never actually following the tolerant words and ideas that they consistently preach. Similarly, former Vice President, this is another one that he's talking about here. It says, similarly, Former vice president candidate Tim Kaine's son, Linwood Michael Kaine, has become the latest face of intolerance following his recent arrest in St. Paul. This is kind of interesting. In Minnesota, he says, there, Kaine was arrested on suspicion of felony rioting after inciting violence during a demonstration where he was allegedly observed lighting fireworks inside the Minnesota State Capitol's rotunda. Tim Kaine's response, we love that our three children have their own views and concerns about current political issues. They fully understand the responsibility to express those concerns peacefully. So I guess lighting off fireworks and stuff, you know, when you're not supposed to in there and starting fires is peaceful, consider this guy. And this guy was going to possibly be, you know, the vice president. But really, they're all one and the same. And it says, and this is who liberals wanted to be the vice president of the United States of America, someone who refuses to differentiate between peaceful and political expression and violent rioting. So I read that to you just to show you the hypocrisy of them. You know, and I'm not saying that Trump is any better. There is kind of, it seems like there's a spectrum, but there's really not. You're either for God and his righteousness and his laws and his ways, or you're over here where the goats are going to be, you know, at the final judgment on your way to hell. Matthew 23:15 says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. And that's what Tim Kaine's doing. He's making his own children twofold more the child of hell than himself. So point number three is liberals suck because they practice hypocrisy. They practice hypocrisy. Point number four, liberals suck because they utter error against the Lord. Look down at verse, if you're still in Isaiah 32, look at verse 6. So we already talked about the vile person will speak vanity, and his heart will work iniquity to practice hypocrisy. But then next it says, and to utter error against the Lord. And to utter error against the Lord. So let's take a quick look at someone who utters error against the Lord. And this is actually an article about Virginia Mullencott. And if you don't know who she is, she was on the NIV translating committee. And I'm just going to read for you this article here. It says, Virginia Mullencott's reading the Bible from low and outside. So I guess there's this book where she teaches people how to read the Bible or something. It says, reading the Bible from low and outside. It says, lesbian and gay people, or sodomite people, such as God's tricksters, provides a brief model for reading the Bible from the margin. So this book is training people that obviously aren't saved to read the Bible, which is translated by people that weren't saved, on how to interpret it. That's what's going on here. It says, when the people are oppressed and marginalized, be they people of non-normative sexual orientations, genders, races, what have you, they must develop strategies to make it in society. And keep in mind, this is a woman who was on the NIV translating committee. Mullencott grew up in a fundamentalist tradition and subsequently spent many years married to a man. But in time, she left those behind and embraced her identity as a lesbian. Because of her long time in the closet, she knows the necessity of keeping secrets and playing the part. And she aims to create a space where those still in the closet are not looked down on. How many churches in this city right now today use the NIV Bible? You know, I don't know, but how many churches in this country use the NIV Bible, or in this world? How many people would even support someone who uses the NIV Bible? Really, if you are, you're basically subscribing to all this. Then it goes on to say, this is a quote from her, she says, it is time for queer people and all other oppressed people to openly espouse an ethical system that honors necessary subversion and ceases to shame those who practice it. So what that means is subvert means to undermine, to overthrow. That's what it means. And she's saying it's time for them to basically bound up and bind together and come up with different sneaky ways to subvert the way that we think, right? Exactly what you see going on today. And then it says, what is this? Okay, she quotes somebody here and says, it shows that outness is not the only way to be queer, nor is it necessarily the best way, nor is it even possible for some. Perhaps outness is a privilege. The privilege of being out is revealed in the reaction she has received to her argument from affluent sodomite white males, who besides being sodomites, and they're using the word gay here, but gay means happy, and so I don't want to pervert your minds here, are already located in the dominant populations of Western society. And I'm going to skip some. This is kind of long. Here's another quote. She says, I am arguing for a realistically complex underground or resistance code of ethics, which is this. I will do what is necessary to preserve the loving values I believe in, and at the same time, I will try to survive in order to work yet another day. Such a code of honors, the integrity on both sides of the closet door. So what are we talking about here? Somebody who utters error against the Lord. And then it says she uses two primary biblical examples to provide models for her underground ethics. First, she can be seen as the progeny, printed this word out in gray and I'm having a hard time reading it. But I'll just skip that. It says, the role of the trickster usually said to originate the Hebrew Bible, at least, in the character of Jacob should actually be traced back to Rebekah, his mother, who teaches him how to perform subterfuge. Rebekah is not out in the open, but rather she works in secret. So they're trying to use the story of Jacob and Rebekah when Rebekah said, hey, go bring in the two kids and the goats and we'll make your father savory meat such as he loves. And they're trying to use that as justification for promoting their faggotry. And then it says, Virginia Mullicott's second model is the situational ethics of the New Testament, such as 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23 and 24. And then Virginia Mullicott says, we are free to be queers, she says, but sometimes it is best to be queer in secret. They don't print off what 1 Corinthians 10, 23 and 24 says, so I'll just read it for you. It's talking about how to do all for the glory of God. So here's what it says. This is King James Bible. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. So this translator of the NIV Bible, and she's not the only one. There was obviously several people on the NIV translation committee. She's saying that 1 Corinthians chapter 10 gives her justification to be a queer. And what's point number four? Liberals suck because they utter error against the Lord. They utter error against the Lord. That is disgusting. I hate the NIV Bible so much. All these false translations. And this just made it worse. I mean, this just disgusting. I mean, it's to the point now where people that are even, like, at work on the side of Christians that use this garbage, like, I can't even talk to them. I can't even look at them in the face. So point number four, liberals suck because they utter error against the Lord. And if you really wanted to see a personal example of that, just go down to, what's that church called? The Boise Friends Church? Yeah, or the Pursuit, New Life, anything like that. And you're going to see a man stand up behind a glass pulpit that utters error against the Lord. So, point number five. Liberals suck because they make empty the soul of the hungry. So, Isaiah 32, verse 6 says, after it says they utter error against the Lord, it says to make empty the soul of the hungry. And they do this in two ways. They do it physically, but they also do it spiritually, right? You might be thinking, well, physically, how do they do that? Well, they do it by being okay by poisoning our food supply, right? With GMOs, fluoridation. I mean, those are liberal people that devised those instruments, that thought of these things and implemented them into our food chain. And I'm not like saying, I'm a food Nazi or anything, but look, God does say in Psalm chapter 14, verse 4, have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord. So another point with the workers of iniquity, the Bible says that they have no knowledge, but they eat up my people. And what did God say? In Hosea, it says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So I do think it's important to understand some of the dangers that these people are putting into our food and our water. And they also, like I said, not only do they go after making people physically hungry, but they go after people creating a spiritual hunger, right? And how do they do that? They do that by just opposing every single thing that the Bible says, right? By class, like go up to Canada, for example. It's illegal to read certain parts of the Bible. I was told that you can't read Leviticus chapter 20. Romans chapter 1, Jude. There's a lot of places where you can't read. You can't preach the truth, according to them, right? But we should obey God rather than men. And so point number five is liberals suck because they make empty the soul of the hungry. You know, they're just against every single thing that God has. Every word in this book, they are the exact opposite. You know, and who's ultimately behind that? It would be the devil. So, point number six. Liberals suck because they invent evil things. So look down there at verse number 7. It says, the instruments also of the churl are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. And churl just means a mean-spirited person. That's what that word means. And so the Bible's basically just using the word liberal, vile, and churl here, you know, interchangeably. So a liberal person is a churl person. A liberal person is a vile person. But notice what it says here, that they're inventors of evil things. And we kind of already touched on that. You know, they just constantly invent bills to take away our rights. I mean, just insane, sick, disgusting things. You know, they invent bills that remove God's word from, you know, all the government buildings. They don't want the Ten Commandments up. They don't want Bible verses up in classrooms. They don't want Bibles in the classrooms. They don't want anything that has to do with God or could be, you know, remotely righteous in their buildings, in the government. You know, what else? Chemtrails. I mean, global warming, mass shootings, communism. I mean, the list really goes on, right? They're just, if you can think of an evil thing, they did. You know, back in the day when they were burning Christians at the stake and torturing them, you know, through the conquest of the Roman Catholic Church, you know, it was those liberal people that devised these horrible torture instruments, you know, and the day is coming where they're going to do it again. And so the result, look down there at verse number 8. It says, but the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. You know, these people have their day coming. You know, we ought not to let this stuff get to us. So why am I preaching this? Because you have, like I said, on one side you have God's word, you have his judgments, you have his righteousness, right? Now on the other side you have the opposite of that. You have the liberal, satanic, the vile, all the stuff that we just talked about. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to step anywhere near that other side. I don't want to take any step backwards towards being a liberal. I want to stay fundamental. Ephesians 5 verse 3 says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. Turn to Psalm chapter 119. We're almost done. Psalm 119. See, the solution to this is, one, not let it bother you. You know, you're going to hear bad things. You're going to hear about these things that these liberals are coming up with. You know, oh, they're going to try to pass a bill to make breastfeeding illegal. They're going to do all this stuff. You know, what are you going to do when they come? I don't care what they do. I'm just not going to comply with any of it. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what God says. Oh, you know, you can't go soul winning. They're going to pass a law. What are you going to do? Well, I'm going to go soul winning. That's what I'm going to do. So Psalm 119. Look at verse 9. I realize it's a big chapter. Psalm 119. Verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So the solution to becoming, you know, the prevention, what we need to not step anywhere near towards being liberal. Because I don't want to go anywhere near that, not even close. I want to stay fundamental. It's by taking heed thereto according to the Bible. It's by listening. It's by what we talked about this morning, you know, about God's word. It always goes back to God's word. So turn over to verse 53, same chapter, Psalm 119, verse 53. It says, horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Right? We just looked at six reasons why liberals suck. You know, here's another one. You know, they forsake thy law. But look, notice what he says here. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. So it could happen, right? You hear about some bill being passed or some new law coming down the pipe. You know, you might get that feeling of horror, but look at verse 54. It says, thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. So the solution to not letting this stuff get to us and not letting it, you know, bog us down, not letting, because look, if you let this kind of stuff get to you, if you're the kind of person that wants to just watch the nightly news all the time and just really get up to date on what these liberals are up to, it can really put a horror on you. And what that'll do is that'll make you slide towards that liberal line. You'll, It's just all, it'll just consume your mind. You'll just be thinking about it all day, all night. And next thing you know, you're just, you know, hidden in a bunker somewhere with a few MREs, you know, and 14 cans of stew, which really isn't going to save you. But the real solution is found here in verse 56. He said, "This I had because I kept thy precepts." Look, we got to just decide that we're going to trust the Bible. We're going to follow God's laws. We're going to follow his words. And then he's going to work everything else out. You know, we shouldn't be afraid of what man is planning to do, what man can do. Because really, I heard somebody say this before, all they can do is just change your address, right? They can't really take anything away from you. Yeah, they might kill the body, but you'll just be present with the Lord. And so we ought not to let their stupidity get us down. But it is wise to have somewhat of a knowledge of what they're up to, right? Because God does say that my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. And we ought to be wise by, and you're going to get that because you kept his precepts, because you kept his statutes, his commandments. You're in God's word. You kept his word. And that is the answer to dealing with liberals. And so that's it. Let's bow our heads and work prayer. Lord, thank you for this opportunity again to preach. I just pray you bless the fellowship to come and the travel that everybody has to do. And please just be with this church, Lord, and grow it, and give us a strong zeal to carry out your missions, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.